I'll give you just a minute to find your place there. Psalms chapter 24. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up thy head, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. That means to ponder or to think on it. I want to pray this morning before I get started. If you will, bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I know the message that you've given me today. And Lord, I know it's for today. I pray, Lord, that you would keep me in the confines of your word. Lord, that you would preach me as you've never preached me before. And Father, if there's one person here today that is lost, that does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray, Father, that you would preach me harder than you've ever preached me. And Father, that you would extend your mercy and your grace to that individual. Let the Holy Ghost and the power that is therein, the convicting power, deal with that person, but Father, before it's too late. And Lord, I pray that you would help us in this service today, that your anointing would just flow. And Father, I cannot do anything on my own, but Lord, I have to do everything through you. For it is your strength that I rely upon. And Father, use my tongue and my words and my mouth as your instrument. And Lord, I pray that you help us here today in this service. Amen. When you read this psalm, you might not see the coalition to the significance of this passage. But when this psalm was written and when this psalm was sung by David and the children of Israel, it was at a critical time and a time of crisis in their life. The Philistines had just come and captured the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was an unusual blessing from God, because the Ark of the Covenant possessed power and supernatural and unbelievable things that took place when the Ark of the Covenant was in the presence of God's people. To the rest of the world, it seemed like just a magic box, if you will. But to God's people, it was a place for the presence and the glory of God to dwell. It was a place for the covering of the blood. It was a place that God could come and dwell, and it would help them on their journey and help them in their walk. It was a place for the glory of God to visibly manifest Himself to the children of Israel. It was this simple. Without the ark, there was no blood. And without the blood, the ark had the law and the two tables of stone. inside of it. It had the rod of Aaron that budded. It had the golden pot of manna. And without it, the glory of God would not come. It was the place that the rest of the world could see the visible manifestation of a holy God. A place where He could come and they could see that God was moving and God was working and God was guiding and directing His chosen people. But it had been gone now for 7 months. You Bible readers know the story. They tried to bring it back unsuccessfully. Death came when they handled it wrong. Listen to me, there's a wrong way and a right way to handle the glory of God. David gets some of the wise men together, trying to figure out what they done wrong. You'll read to where he gets the musicians all lined up. He gets the singers all lined up. Some time back, it's been 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, I preached a sermon, Six Paces. They finally get to the Ark of the Covenant. They take six paces. They begin to sing and they begin to praise. They take six more steps. They stop and they sing and they praise. Psalm 24 is one of those songs that they begin to sing. And now the Ark of the Covenant is coming back. The glory is now coming back to where it belongs. This psalm is all about worship. God don't expect us to just worship 3 times a year. God don't expect us just to worship on Easter Sunday. God expects us to worship all year long. The praise of God's people should be on our hearts and on our tongues continually. There's about 3 points that I want to bring to us this morning. Psalm 24 is about worship. But I want to look at the object of our worship. You'll find it in verses number 1 and verses number 2. He said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Verse 2, for He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. It's His. He created it. Some time back, my sweet daughter, I always make her nervous when I do that. She made me a loaf of banana nut chocolate chip bread. I let Joanna have a little bit of it. But she said, Dad, I made you something. But you see, she used the correct terminology. She made it. She did not create it. She made it. She took some flour. She didn't create that. She took some bananas. She took some chocolate chips that come from a chocolate chip tree. Are you getting the picture? She took some things and she made something. He created it. He created everything. He created me. He created you. He created the birds, the trees, the grass. I get so frustrated with people saying that they don't believe in God, that they believe in the Big Bang Theory. Well, where did the Big Bang come from? Something had to come from something. There had to be a divine creator He is the one that created it. The object of our worship. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy to be worshiped. The object of our worship should never be anything that we made, but what He created. I see here the obstacles of our worship. You know, contrary to popular belief, not everyone can worship God. Infidels can't worship God. Sinners can't worship God. God does not accept worship from everyone. And for the very reason that I'm about to tell you. Some of you are dirty. Boy, it got quiet. Some of you are dirty. He says here, clean hands and a pure heart. I'm talking about pursuing a life of holiness. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about coming to God and saying, God, make me better. Some of you have not been tweaked in 25 years. Even your cell phone has to have an update every once in a while. Come on now. We come to church. You know, he talks about a clean hands and a pure heart. He's talking about two different conditions here. Clean on the outside and clean on the inside. We come to church and we clean up pretty nice. Turn to your neighbor and say, man, you look good today. I mean, really, I even shaved this morning. You know, Mama's always say, did you wash behind your ears? Yeah, on Sunday I do. It's not too hard to clean the outside. We get cleaned up real nice. But the fact of the matter is sometimes we come to church and we've got cleaned up on the outside, but we got so much junk on the inside that we can't worship. You know, I'm going to pick on Brother Virgil a little bit this morning. He's diabetic. He's fun to pick on anyway. And you know something? I found out something. I brought a little experiment with me. This is an old jar that I found laying around the house. And I've got some nuts and screws and bolts and some molly nuts. And I think there's an old rusty Torx bit in there and a washer and just different things. You know how you store stuff in jars. But don't worry, the outside, I cleaned the outside of this. And I know being a diabetic, there's sometimes, you know, diabetics, they just get thirsty. You have to drink a lot of water. And I got a bottle of water here. And I want to... Oh, look at that water. There's some things that water just, you just can't take the place of water. Water's good. Yeah. Yeah, look at that. Here, Brother Virgin, won't you take a drink of this? You ain't gonna do that, are you? You can have them after church. Brother Isaac, you want to drink? You're not diabetic, but you want to drink of that? The outside's clean. I washed it this morning just to be sure. The glass is a little cloudy, but it's probably just from stuff on the inside, but don't worry about it. We come to God, and that's the way our praise is. God's not going to drink that. He's in the presence of angels crying, holy, holy, holy. A holy God is not going to drink our praises when our praises are corrupt from the inside. We may have the outside looking really good, but the inside, there's a lot of junk in there that needs some updating. There's some things in there that it's no wonder we cannot stand in church and lift holy hands and praise a holy God when we got our heart that is unclean. When your heart is right, there's not anybody can stop you from praising the Lord. You might say, well, you can't make me praise God. Listen to me, he's not going to take it anyway if your heart is filthy. A dirty jar, clean on the outside, and filthy on the inside. But what do I do, preacher? The Bible says that you'll find this recorded in Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 29. He says, for our God is a consuming fire. You know, when Jesus came to the impossible places in his life, whenever he came to the man with the leprosy and the disease and the crippled, and they say, do not touch him. And Jesus went ahead and laid hands on him and touched him anyway. The individuals did not change Jesus. Jesus changed the individuals. He can take what is dirty and make it clean. He can make you pure and make you whole. And when you start to worship, there is going to be an overflow. Verse number 5, he tells them, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. Everyone gets heavenly presence. I'm talking about P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, gifts, presence. Everyone loves a present. When we come to God, come to Christ, every one of us will receive something. Not only will we receive something, but also a heavenly presence that we'll receive. You'll read about it in verse 7 and verse number 9 also. He said, and the King of glory shall come in. At verse number 9, he said, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is a King of glory. Selah. The King of glory, his presence will come in. You know, in the Old Testament, the prophets desired to see God. You know how the world sees God today? They'll see it through your worship. They won't see a visible God come in here and walk down the aisle. They'll see him through your worship. I've been in church services before. I've seen the power of God move, and I've seen the overflow A lot of times it'll start maybe at the back of the church and somebody will begin to shout and to worship and praise God. And before long, it's like a wave just flows over the congregation. Some of y'all old timers have seen it. The presence of the Lord that enters the place of worship. I've preached long enough this morning. I'm going to ask you to come back to the music, if you will. I just feel like I've got more I could give you, but I feel like that I've preached long enough. Isaiah, I'll give you this. Isaiah said in chapter 59, he says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." If you're at a place where you cannot worship in truth and in spirit, this is one of those messages that I could not preach without checking myself. Lord, am I where I need to be? Is there something inside of me that I need to take care of? Is there some junk in there in my mind, in my heart that I need to clear up? If there is nothing in there that is hindering us, why can't we worship? I'm going to turn that question around. If we can't worship, what's stopping us? I can look across the congregation this morning and I don't see a dirty person in here. You cleaned up real well on the outside. You got your hair combed. You got nice clothes on. As far as I know, there's not anybody in here even stinking. But Brother Virgil, I can't see what's in here. But he can. If it's hindering me from worshiping, Lord, search me. I want to be found holy. I want to be found pure. I want to be able to worship because that's the only way a lost and dying world is going to be able to see God, is through the worship of His saints. Stand with me, if you will. The altar's open this morning. I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm not saying you may have done anything wrong, but there may be something inside of you that has prevented you from worshiping the way that you need to worship. Get it covered under the blood. The altar's open this morning. Someone feel a need to pray. Maybe you're here today and you're lost without God. There's some coming, but there'll be others. God hasn't revealed anything special to me other than just this is a sermon that I needed to preach for today. He knows your heart. You may come to church. You may even lift up your hands. But if your heart's dirty, it's like that jar of water in it. He's not going to drink that. clean hands and a pure heart? Are you doing it for show? Or are you worshiping because He's God? Come on, church. Let's find us a place to pray. Let's seek the Lord a while this morning.